I'm glad to have Buddy Williams, our brother, back here. I haven't seen Buddy back beyond Brother Lundebo. That's right. Thank you, Buddy, for raising your hand. And some folks with Buddy, I believe. I appreciate them so much. Buddy's a minister. I was asking about Buddy the other day. I hadn't seen him in a good long while. And Brother Naaman is down, sitting right there, Brother Naaman. That's good. When you raise your hand like that, it really helps me to avoid embarrassment, because sometimes I might say it and you know it might not be that way. But he and his family are down. And then Brother Merritt from over in Tennessee, he and I believe Tom's around somewhere, I don't know. Some of those folks are down. And Brother Philip from out of Mississippi, pastors one of our churches there, he's down. And I just kind of scan over the audience to try to see what I can see here. Brother Snyder and his wife, of course, has come in from Arizona. Arizona, they moved in here with us. Colorado, Arizona. I have to stop. Colorado. Okay, Colorado. And these people have become part of our family here. And Brother Bob, he's down from California. He, his wife, and little ones. And who's the lady? Oh, yeah, your mother. I kept wondering who this lady was. This is the sister, Brother Bob's mother. She's from Virginia. I've got that right. West Virginia. And she came down here. She said she was coming, and I see she's a lady of a word. She come down. Let's give these folks a hand. How do you appreciate these folks has come to be with us? You know, Little Bethlehem, you're welcome to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're engaged in world evangelism, and our heart is in soul winning, for the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, hating the garments of spotting with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And so then we see you here, and we appreciate you being here. Now there's others. There's Brother Lord and his wife from over in Alabama. Is it Brother Lord? And let me see. As we look over the audience, I kind of glance over the audience. I have to look real close. And as I say, our folks, the Greens from over in Virginia. And then Brother Randall. Brother Randall and his family from over in Mississippi. Can you lift your hand up, Brother Randall, there? Yeah, okay. Brother Randall, and then you'll just have to help me. You know, see, there's people here that to some of them, I see we got the King's kids that I said, that's a real treat for us. And I believe he's going to be with us another night. Isn't that right, brother? You plan to be with us another night? Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, let's give him another hand, okay? Somebody said, well, we didn't clap your hands enough. The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's a joyful noise unto the Lord. And when you do it to these, the Bible said, if you did it to the least of them, you do it unto the Lord. So I love to praise the Lord, whether, you know, whatever. Look on the things of another, esteem others to be better than yourself, and seek the welfare of another. All right. Oh, by the way, I saw somebody up here when I looked over there a while ago, Brother Cantrell. If that's Brother Cantrell, raise your hand. Brother Cantrell. Let's give Brother Cantrell a hand. I was wondering about Brother Cantrell the other day. I think he was over for the wedding, when they had the wedding. All right. We want to read just a little bit, and I want to talk to you. You know, we're sweating, we're perspiring already, so you don't have to worry about getting hot now. You got all the faucets open. And how would you like to give the Lord a little time? You know, the Bible speaks of the man that received 15 years extension of his life because he gave a little time to God. And a lot of times you... if you don't give a little time to the Lord, then you lose your life. See, folks have lived 80 and 90 years old because they had time for God. Others didn't live to be 40 years old because they were so busy with all the things they wanted to do. See, and you give a little time to God, and who knows what, he might give you 10 years extension. And if you give him enough time, he might just give you eternal life. Let's give the Lord a hand. He might just let you live on and on. He might like what you're saying and the way you do things, and he might just let you live on and on and on. Like the song said, and I'll live on. Hallelujah. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. So then, knowing that we pass from death unto life, we don't have to worry about dying. All of our lives were subject to bondage because of the fear of death, but no more. See, we're free from that now. We are eternal. We've done passed over now, and we are eternal. And your spirits are eternal, and you don't have to worry about sinning and dying and losing out and holding on and all these kind of things. You don't have to do that. Like they sing here, you just don't quit. You'll be all right. See, and you just You don't have to worry about those things because all that's taken care of. You didn't seek the Lord. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this was granted unto us in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at the rent veil at Calvary, that it should be preached down through the church ages that you should comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. And the Bible teaches that this that you have is faith that has been imputed unto you as righteousness. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. That is, he can't sin. And blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, his iniquities are forgiven, and his sins are covered. And the Bible says, in that God will not impute sin unto us, then he imputes righteousness unto us by means of faith. So then our faith in Christ Jesus brings us the righteousness of God. When the two stood in the temple and one said, Lord, I fast and I pray and I believe in works. And that's good, folks. You sure need some, and I do too. The whole world does. But it didn't get him anything. And the other man said, Lord, in essence, he didn't use these terms, but I'm a wretch. I'm nothing. I don't have anything. You know, I don't know what to do. But, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And the Bible said, and he went down to his house justified. The other man had done all his fasting, giving, all these other things. He didn't go justified, see, because he wasn't glorifying God. He was glorifying himself. Paul said, if it's works, then we can boast. We can glorify ourselves. But if it's of God, that gives us a praise. We want to love him and thank him for what he done. How in the vesture dipped in blood, he did it for you, he did it for me. And so then, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. And God has given this to us in Christ. So then our faith is imputed unto us for righteousness. And all he asks us to do is to make the right kind of effort toward him. If we make the right kind of effort, a sincere effort, that's all the works that he wants. You know, that's all the works that he wants. A little baby, you know, all that little baby it's got to do is just make an effort toward mommy and stick out its little hand, and mommy, she'll almost stumble trying to get to it if it's trying to walk. You know, because the little baby doesn't have to do anything to be mom's little baby. It's already mommy's little baby, you know. And mommy's just waiting for it to make a little effort to try, and she'll put that hand down and she'll pick him right up. Isn't that wonderful? So then we're already the Lord's, and the Bible said we were predestinated before the world ever was. Our destination was predetermined. And them that he foreknew, that is to foreknowledge, we're elect according to foreknowledge, or his elect as under grace. No one can lay anything to our charge. God has perfected us forever. And we are sanctified, and we are justified, and the Bible said we are glorified, and no one can lay anything to our charge, for we are God's elect. For if God be for us, who can be against us? For if our ways please God, he maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us. They'll come out one way and flee before us seven ways. Isn't that right? Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you make it too easy. I didn't have a thing to do with it. I just got on just like you did. You know, when the chariot come down, I just got on like you did. Jesus was the one that made it easy. He said, my yoke is easy. Let's give him a hand. All those folks are struggling. You know, they're trying to fast so they can be holy, and they're trying to pray so they can be holy, and they are trying to, you know, they're trying to do all kinds of things so they can be holy. And of course, they do wind up more holy than thou, the same thing that Jesus put the Jews away for. And I said, well, bless God, you just don't believe in doing nothing, do you? Well, I don't know. I think I got off my knees at 6 o'clock this morning, was it? I believe in doing something. Let's give the Lord a hand. But I still believe it's by grace. I believe it's by grace. The Bible said by grace you're saved. It doesn't matter if you pray all night. If you fast for 10 days, it's still by grace. God gives it to us by grace. We don't have anything to do with it at all. Our effort as to whatever we do for God is simply because we love the Lord and we want to praise him and thank him for what he hath done for us. That's the only reason I do anything, is to praise him and glorify him. And you know what, folks? I say this again. Your sickness, your problems come upon you. Your poverty, it all comes upon you because of one thing. And that is, you do not serve the Lord with joyfulness of heart. For a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And when you praise God and love God like this, that you don't feel under condemnation. See, and not only that, but if you happen to stumble and stagger, when you know down in your heart that you didn't mean to do that and you were doing your best, there's no reason to condemn yourself over it. For the Bible said, if that should happen and our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He knows that we're already sons of God. Why should we then condemn ourselves? But we just confess our faults and say, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive others their trespasses against us. And then we get up with our faith and we don't cast away our faith, which hath great recompense of reward. We draw nigh to God to worship God through fasting and prayer to strengthen ourselves to resist the devil. He'll flee from us. Taking the shield of faith that we might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. See, folks, having on the full armor of God. I couldn't be happy if I thought I sinned every day. How in the name of reason can you be happy if you think you sin every day? You know what would happen to me if I thought I sinned every day? I'd be under condemnation. Christians don't sin every day. Don't let people tell you that Christians sin every day. Christians don't sin any days. Not any days. Christians don't sin. Somebody said, well, I believe that I do. I don't doubt but what you do, but I said Christians don't sin. See, Christians are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and it was said concerning him that we find no fault in this just man. And the Bible said concerning a Christian, he keepeth himself. As with the inner man, he's sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the light is radiating out, and the darkness can't get near it. So then he keeps himself, and the Bible says that the evil one toucheth him not. That's the church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, because I give you power as to the Holy Ghost to keep yourself from all evil and all unrighteousness, to be holy in body and spirit. And the evil one can never touch you. Never. All right, now, how many Christians we got in here that would like to contest that with me and say, well, the devil touched me? Come on, folks. How many would like to go along with me and with what the Word says? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. And how many would like to say, by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, the devil ain't never touched me. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You're God's bride. Don't nobody play around with God's bride. Now, somebody might play around with your bride, but not God's bride. Ain't gonna be no spots there. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good all over to know you're clean and holy and godly and pure by the blood of Jesus? And don't that make you want to say, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord. Whew, I feel that. Don't you feel that? That makes me feel good. Glory to God. Well, anyway, we better preach. Let me see here what we're supposed to say tonight. Find something. Father, we can talk to you about chapter 21 in the book of Revelation. The first verse, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderer and whoremonger and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And let me say this right here, folks. I say a lot of times that we pass from death unto life. And of course, the thought arises, if that be so, why do they put people in coffins? The thing is, it's because you don't understand that you think like that. Because when it says death, as you pass from death unto life, it is not talking about the sleep that your body will go through when they lay you down in a casket. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. See, a Christian cannot die, for death is the lake of fire. And it is referred to as the second death, which in all reality is the only death, in that the first closing of the eyes is asleep. See, asleep. So then death is the lake of fire. And what you pass from, you've already passed from death. That is eternal doom and damnation in the lake of fire. You pass from death, which means your spirit cut off from God's spirit of life. You pass from that. Your spirit can never be cut off from God's spirit. For the spirit cut off from God's spirit, that's death. Your body cut off from your spirit is not death, that is sleep. And your body goes to sleep when the spirit leaves it. We use the term the body is dead without the spirit. Jesus said, you don't understand my manner of speech. When I say Lazarus sleepeth, so I just plainly say to you, Lazarus is dead. That's your terminology. So to the world, as to the natural world, that means that they believe that when the spirit departs from the body, that is death. But that's only sleep, unless you are a sinner. When your spirit departs from the body, if you are a sinner, then it is death. Because your spirit has separated itself from God, and there will never be another opportunity for you to be in the grace of God, because the only time that you can be in the grace of God as a sinner is when the blood is on the seat of atonement out here while your spirit of life is still in your body. So once it goes beyond that, and once the grace is lifted to bring in the tribulation, there will be no more as to you having life. But folks, we cannot die. God, the great Holy Spirit, is living within my spirit. And my spirit and his spirit is one spirit. That means that it is eternal. And I'm not in the flesh. God has chosen me out of the flesh. And my body is dead to sin and dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. And my body of death, as Paul referred to it, that's guilty of transgression, sinful flesh, has been folded up and laid away. And I am free from it. And at death, my spirit went back to God who gave it. That is your terminology of death. So then that means that my soul did not die. My soul cannot die. The soul that sinneth shall die. But my soul cannot sin because the evil one cannot touch me. And God has saved me from my sins. And I say this so often as a reminder, the Bible said 483 years from the time that the prophecy came to Daniel, from that time and then over, the Messiah came. He was cut off for you, not for himself. So then that means that I am free from sin. 483 years. From that time, it's been a heavenly episode. And this gap is called the rending of the veil, and the 7 years, as that which was to be 490 years determined upon the Jews, is now a tribulation period that's called the last week of Daniel, or we say the time of Jacob's trouble. So then we know that we are in heaven. And of course, when you say that, people, you know, they just, people out there say, my God, that cult out there teaching that folks are in heaven. Well, you know, culture, whatever you want to call it, you're still in heaven. And you know what? The most startling thing about the whole thing is that those people that are upset because you say you're in heaven, they're in heaven too. Oh my God. The Bible said, Brother Pike, you've done got the devil up in heaven. Yeah, believe it or not. Revelation 12 says, and John saw the devil in heaven. Or he called him the old dragon and said, I looked into heaven and there he was. See, he's a spirit. Remember, heaven is a spirit. Remember that? All right, so then we see that the woman was in heaven, and there was the child coming forth in heaven. Someone would say, do you mean that they birthed children in heaven? Sure as the world, they did it. They're doing it right now. So then, here we are again. See, the man child is being born. He's being born. The church, as to the woman, I know that was the Jew in Revelation 12, but having to do with the spiritual episode here, had the Christ to the church, the Jesus to the Jew. And here you are in heaven. And here the woman is, and she is heavy with child. and she's ready to bring forth. And here she is in heaven. And as I said, I say again tonight, here's the red dragon over here. And the red dragon is laying right in there waiting for the opening of the matrix and the child to come forth, as I said the other night, that he may devour the child as soon as the child is born. So then the church world is in heaven. Because as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that means the grace of God is upon you. And the Bible said when Jesus died, he died to take away the sins of the world. Not only your sins, but all them people's sins out there. And he saved you while you were yet in your sins, before the world ever was. And your names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I said the other night, somebody will say, well, if I endure, God will write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life if I overcome. Paul said, concerning some of his workers, he said, and their names, whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not going to be, already are. What he said to you, he said, you need to overcome so that they don't blot your name out of the Book of Life. You love the Lord? Amen. All right, so we get the cart ahead of the horse, and a lot of times we don't understand what we're saying. But I'm telling you that the church world is in heaven. The people out yonder in the world are in heaven. And the church is to the woman here. She's in heaven. And the Jew is in heaven. As the woman there in the book of Revelation. And it's all because Jesus took our sins. And he that knew no sin was made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And thus the grace of God is upon me. Now, and I say this again, you may think that you're not in heaven, but I say, beloved friend, when you go into the lake of fire, and when you go into hell, and you feel the sting of the fire, and people gnashing on one another, and there's no more goodies, and there's no more relief from pain, as to the toothache, or as to having the operation, or you can't eat and drink and quench your thirst, and you can't have anything else good, it's all taken away. You'll look back and you'll say, Brother Pike told me the truth. I was in heaven, and I didn't know it. Because, folks, let me tell you, just as soon as the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, which is not far away, the Bible said there's going to be weeping, there's going to be gnashing of teeth. And the Bible said the beast is kingdom, which means people that's in the flesh. The beast is kingdom is going to be filled with darkness, which means intellectual ignorance. There won't be any understanding of God. And the Bible said there won't be any healing medicines. You know, we run to the hospitals and we go for the healing medicines, and sure enough, God lets it work. But folks, let me tell you, there ain't no healing in medicine. Healing is in God, and when God withdraws, there won't be any healing medicine. God's only allowing that now because, as I said, you're in heaven. He's done all of this thing to give you a heavenly atmosphere to where you can have health and happiness until at least the church comes to the place to where they can utilize their ability in Christ and use their faith. See, and all that's going to be done away with when the saints goes out of here, the light goes out of here, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said the fire and brimstone came. Being a type of the church. So then that means that something is taking place. See, and right now, we're going right on over to the tribulation. Take it calendar-wise, and Mr. Bush's administration goes right into the tribulation period calendar-wise. So then that means that the days of the Gentiles have come to a close. There is now the ministering of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which reveals that people are in heaven, which reveals and differentiates as to show who are the children of God and the sons of God and who are not, and which revealed that they're already perfected forever and they're already eternal and they cannot die, which reveals the mysteries of Jesus Christ as to what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man who was in heaven, talking to Nicodemus, and who is in heaven, as he stood in a human body. We being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then where could we be? Where else could we be? For we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said that God hath hid Christ, or Jesus. He hath hid him. That is, he hath hid him in his own self, in his own spirit. to where no one can find him. Where is he at? Like in the days of Elijah, when Ahab could not find Elijah. God had hid him. See, in the time of the drought, so that Jezebel couldn't kill him. You understand what I'm saying? Ahab searched all the land, but he couldn't find him. Typical of the waters of life being held back, but that tribulation period comes in. For 3.5 years there, when God's going to pour out his wrath. So then, we are in heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Jesus was in heaven. He never departed from heaven. You are his bone and flesh, which means you are in heaven. He alone dwells in the light, which means the great revelational mind of God. And you, as I said the other night, have no place in that light except as a member of his body, because he's the only one that can dwell there. And also that he is your hope of glory, for he alone was made heir to the glory of God and nobody else. So Christ in you is that hope of glory that Christ stood in, Jesus stood in on the mountain when he stood between Moses and Elijah. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ coming at this time is the last message that will ever come to the world. I made the statement, I remind you again tonight, that all the lights would go out. Brother Branham, Brother Jack Coe, Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Jim Swaggart, Brother Jim Baker, all these, Pat Robinson, all of them, Armstrong, I said all of them will go out. The Pentecostals will go out. They will go out. They'll start bathing suits and volleyball and baseball and get so worldly minded till their light will go out. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. And if you don't have any good works, then you don't have any light. Let them see your good works that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody says good works. I knew that's the way it was, Brother Pike. I'm saved by my good works. No, there's none good but God. You don't even have good works unless you're in Christ. But the Bible said all of your righteousness is self-righteousness is like filthy rags. I'm good because I'm part of God. So then let them see your good works, which is the works of Christ within you, the Spirit moving in you, God's Spirit causing you to do these things. See, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. All right, somebody said, but he that didn't do it to the end, the Bible said the same shall be saved. I know that. I know a little bit about the Bible like you know a little bit about the Bible. You know, it says he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But the only thing I tell you again, nobody can endure to the end except he that has the Holy Spirit. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then just the elect and the predestinated is the only ones that can endure to the end. Notice how all the rest of them fall into the wayside. So it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption, which means redemption of the body. If this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. The Bible said, Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, that they cannot see when good comes. So then, you are children of light, not of intellectual ignorance. You know when it is upon you. All of this charismatic thing, I keep telling you over and over, all of this charismatic thing, it's nothing. All this charismatic move, all of that, that's not God. I tell you again, that shouting and hollering and jumping and all of that, I believe in praising God just like we did tonight. I believe in praising him in the dance. Shout as loud as you want to, clap your hands, all of that, that's wonderful. But folks, there is something that is in the flesh that's not praising God and it's not worshiping God. Whether you dance or whether you holler or whatever, it's the same as being at a ball game. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that that's not inspired of God? I don't mean the inspiration isn't there because the rain is on the tear and it's on the unjust just like it's on the just. But that don't mean that you've got a thing. You know, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So that doesn't mean that you've got the Holy Ghost. And if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. All this teaching about being saved and then sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's the truth that you are saved. It's true that you are sanctified. It's true that you are filled with the Holy Ghost. But when you take some kind of formula to tell people they're going to be saved and then sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, that's of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. All this kind of thing The Bible said, repent of your sins, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the right formula right there. See? And there ain't no other formulas. All these other things were good. People meant well when they brought them about years ago. But see, and all this thing about speaking in tongues, you've got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. That's not God. That's not God. See, God doesn't teach that. That's not the word. Somebody said, Brother Pike, why are you preaching this? Because the Bible said when you come together, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation. Whatever, let everything be done decently in order. Somebody said, well, I don't teach doctrine. I've had preachers to tell me that. I don't preach doctrine. We've got a big audience. I know. That's because you're of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? And the Bible said concerning the early church, they continued steadfast in the apostolic doctrine or the people. The doctrine of Christ. Somebody said, well, then what you mean Jesus only? Jesus only. What do you mean by Jesus only? I do know the Bible said that when Moses and Elijah disappeared, they didn't see nothing but Jesus only. Let's give the Lord a hand. But it'd be a good thing if we didn't look at nothing but Jesus only. But folks, let me tell you, God's real, a heavenly Father, he's a spirit, and he's got a son that's a human body called the Lord Jesus Christ. And that there is a Holy Ghost, which is the spirit of truth. Is that right? Somebody said, but are you oneness? The Bible said, and they're one. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then somebody said, well, bless God, I know you're Jesus only and you're oneness now. I just told you what the Bible said. I'm a Christian. Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. What it is, you're all fuddled up in your mind. You got the wrong program in there. We're here to tell you that you receive the Holy Ghost. God give the Holy Ghost not to them that speak in tongues. He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. That's why a lot of folks ain't got it. They're Pentecostal and they speak in tongues and do all kinds of things, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. The rain is upon them, but not in them. Somebody said, wait a minute, I heard you speak in tongues a little ago. I know I speak in tongues, prophesy, and interpret. The Lord's blessed me. You know, but you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. You love the Lord? Somebody said, well, you know, Brother Pike, that you do. Okay, let me ask you a question. I said this a number of times. I ask you this question, just kind of getting the thing over to you. And these tapes and films go out also. Now, let's get this straight right here. If speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, and you don't have the Holy Ghost unless you speak in tongues, then what can I say to that? You would have to say that he that prophesieth is greater than the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said he that prophesieth is greater than he that speaks in tongues. Let's give the Lord a hand. Don't you know the Lord don't make no ignorant mistakes like that? The Bible said, and when Paul found them up at the upper coast of Ephesus, he asked of them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, well, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Now he said, well, under what baptism was you baptized? They said, under John's. He said, well, John baptized, said the name's coming with remission of sin. You know? And the Bible said when they heard this, they were rebaptized. Somebody said, I've already been baptized. Well, this is time to be baptized again. Somebody say hallelujah. So then he rebaptized them. And the Bible said they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. You love the Lord? So then Paul said if we all come together speaking in tongues, people will say we're crazy. If you're going to speak in tongues, let it be by two or three at the most, and that by course. And let one interpret. You know, if you're going to prophesy, do it in order. Let two or three as one, two, three, and then let the others judge. See that we might hear what God is saying unto the church, the Spirit is saying unto the church. Folks, let's not be children. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. You know, you want to dance up and down and, you know, and clap your hands and holler and you want to speak in tongues and do all these kind of things. But still, those things belong to the children of the church. Those belong to the children of the church. See, sometimes I might dance a little bit. Somebody said, well, now, ain't that praising him in the dance? It sure is. I wouldn't want to do it no other way. But the thing is, when I'm praising him, it's like a dad would go outside and his two little sons is playing ball. And he just, you know, say, throw it to me. Come on, throw it to me. And he'll catch it and throw it back, you know. But after two or three balls, daddy's got to go. He's got to go make some beans and bread. You know, he can't act like a child. He's just encouraging their little hearts. So then all these things, we are to grow up into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you don't find Jesus going around speaking in tongues. Somebody said, well, maybe he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you expect us to act like him? The Bible said we should follow in his steps. All right. So then, the only place I ever heard him speak in a language like that, other than perhaps the Jewish language, you know, there on Calvary, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, we need to grow up and we need to realize that the translation of the church is here. And folks, we need to get away from this thing that's called the rapture as to depending on that to take us out of here. We don't need to do that. You say, why? Because I tell you so often, there is no such word in the Bible. It's not used. There is no such term. That is a man-made application that just knocks things for a loop. The Bible said we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from this great understanding to great understanding. And we are not just sitting around having been saved, waiting for a catching away as to a rapture, which means caught up, and we will be caught up. We're like children going through school, and we're moving from the elementary school on to high school, and from there into college, as we say, as to a diplomacy. Everything in heaven understood by allegoric things in earth. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world, clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. And so then the revealing of this wonderful thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of Jesus Christ, that is to say, it is revealing Jesus in detail to your mind and heart. In that he is the Christ, the anointed one, the rent veil made way for that. For out of that personification or that mold came the Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. And on the inside of you, he's leading you into all truth and righteousness, which means that he is revealing himself to you according to the measure of himself that you will allow to be made manifest in your mortal genes as to your understanding. So what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? The revelation of Jesus Christ was given to Jesus. It was the revelation not of Brother Pike or Brother Taylor, but of Jesus Christ. And God gave unto him the revelation. And what was the revelation? That it should be revealed to him that he was Almighty God. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so then he grew in grace and knowledge. He come to know that he was Almighty God. He was Almighty God in the Spirit to begin with as a seed planted, as a little seed planted in a little human body. But the body knew nothing other than as it developed and growed to be your example and to come to know that that was the eternal God being manifested in a human body, that he was the only God, the one and only God. What is the revelation of Jesus to me? It is to reveal to me the same thing. What is it to you? To reveal to you the same thing. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, the revelation of Jesus Christ is to reveal to you that you are God. Let's give the Lord. Somebody says, you're crazy, you're eccentric. I know you're beside yourself. Paul said, if I am, it's for the word of the Lord Jesus. See, and God came along and he said to them people, being in human body now, he said, and ye are gods. Ye are gods. And a God is something that can't die. And a God is something that's here in this generation and the next generation and the next generation and from now on. Because a God, a true God, cannot die. Why are you a God? Because you are part of the body of the God of heaven and of earth. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It is not you living but him. And you pass from that realm of a living soul. You are now a quickening spirit. For the second man, Adam, was born. Made a quickening spirit, and he that is born to spirit is spirit. And it's sad, folks. This is sad, I know. But the Pentecostal churches, the leading Pentecostal churches. Somebody said, you mean those Trinity churches? Somebody said, you're talking about them oneness churches. No, I'm talking about them churches. All of them. Did you know that almost throughout the world, except where God is actually moving by Spirit, that those preachers that are leading those people are nothing but little babies, some of them still in their diapers. And that's why they're going to ball games, and that's why they're running after the world, trying to make money and have businesses and get prestige and get positions in the world, because their mind has been programmed that way. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean you don't believe that we can have businesses? Sure. You know, I'm in business myself. The Bible said I must be about my Father's business, the greatest business in the world. Sure, I believe in businesses. You know, sometimes you're told to mind your own business. I believe in business, but I believe that every man that's got a business, he don't need to be looking for a career. And I believe every woman is made to be a child of God, and she don't need to be waiting for the day they're going to discover her and put her on TV or make a movie star out of her. She don't need to walk around like she's dressed for a gay 90s show. I believe that men can have businesses. If they labor that they may have to give to God, I believe it's all right. If you've got a job, if you don't labor that you might have to give to God, you're wasting your time. That job means nothing to God. Whatever you do means nothing to God. You're taking care of your family, which you ought to do. That's just good common sense. You're the one that married the woman and brought the children into the world. That don't put nothing in the kingdom of God. And when you die, you don't get no reward for it. So, you can have a business. You can make money. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall not I reap of your carnal? If other men be partakers of these, am I not the more? But at the same time, he said, you can't be carnally minded. You can't have that old mind of frolic, that old mind of automobiles and houses and fame and popularity, being a celebrity, and all this kind of foolishness. You can't do that. You can have carnal things, but you can't be carnally minded. We are called apart. We are separated from the world, to come out from among them, to be a separate people, to touch not the unclean things, and then I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And folks, this is what's keeping us back from God's revelation and God's mystery, even that which is out in the world, even that which you have given yourself to in the world, seeking the praise of men and not the praise of God. The Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another? Somebody wants to be a doctor of divinity. Somebody wants to have a great cathedral. Somebody wants to have a great following. Somebody wants to have prestige. Somebody wants to have one thing and somebody wants to have another. I know that God puts people in the upper echelon, as it was when he raised Esther up at a certain time, put her with the king, and raised up Daniel and the Hebrew children, put them there so that his people could be protected while they were down in Babylon. He wanted some leaders in the governmental ranks so that they wouldn't discriminate against his people. He did that with Esther to save the royal seed in that day, so the wicked Haman couldn't destroy the seed. Satan trying to destroy the seed to keep Jesus from coming as to the child. See, but here we are. We are a people holy and godly and pure, called apart, perfected by God. See, now what should we be doing? Playing ball? I tell you again, that dragon was in heaven. You know what that dragon was? That dragon was this wicked, sinful, adulterous generation. And as John said, and as Jesus said, you are a generation of vipers. And the Bible said God has put that old serpent, that old devil, on his belly. And all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. So then, the generation of vipers, that old serpent is in heaven. And that old red dragon, you know why it's called the red dragon? Because it is a blood life from human passion, and it brings about death. They that are born of that die, and Adam all die. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is the tree of knowledge. As to lean to your own understanding, you die. And the more that you press the issue for schools and colleges and this thing of today as to diplomacies of life, you die. And you kill your children with death. And you sell your children for a glass of wine to make a dollar, to have a little prestige. And someday they'll gnash on you with their teeth in hell. It's like I told my wife today, she was talking to someone over the telephone. I said, tell this lady she needs to come to church. Being familiar with the lady, I said, and tell her wherever she leads her children to, that's where they're going to be. You better start training them. All right, so we see that the dragon was in heaven. It was in heaven. And when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, the dragon is cast out. Because when there's no more blood on the seat of atonement, only the children of God are in heaven. And the child is called up to the third heaven because the second heaven passes away. Where the dragon was, it's defiled. And John said, in heaven and earth passed away. And the earth passed away. And I read to you, and I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. For behold, I make all things new, for old things have passed away, and all things are new. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't have any sin anymore. I know somebody came to me not too long ago and said, I said something like that, and they said, oh, the Bible says, he that says he hath no sin. Where'd you read that in the Bible? I said, I know the thing that you're talking about. The man that made that statement that you're reproving me with was the same man that went on a little further and said, he that is born of God cannot sin. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, well, ain't that what the Bible says? Perhaps it does. I haven't read it. John said, he that saith that he hath not sinned. All of us has been in sin. All of us are taken in sin. We have sinned. To the extent that we are guilty of transgression before we are born again. For sin is the transgression of the law. But in the mind of God, he kept us from that. In the mind of God, he saved us. He predestinated us. And that's why we're justified by faith. When the preacher comes, this is a courtroom. And it's not the man speaking, but God. And judgment begins at the house of God. And you've got your prosecutor, which is the devil. And you've got your attorney as to your defense, which is the Lord Jesus. And there they are. See, and it is proven that you're not guilty of sin. You're not guilty of sin. You never did sin. You can't sin. There was never any sin in your life. This was given to you before you was ever born, like Jacob. What could Jacob do with all of his mistakes? See, somebody said, I mean to tell you exactly that. Well, what kept me from sinning, Brother Pike? Because Jesus was made my sin. Before the world ever was, he was the Lamb slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. And God wrote my name down the Lamb's book of life. He took all my sins away. I was an eagle born in the barnyard with the chickens. And when I got my understanding, I flew away. I didn't like the stench of it. You love the Lord? All right, so God took away my sins. Now we're having the court session. What is this? He remits your sins. He retains your sin. The minister's there. And the Bible says, submit yourself for conscience sake, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He sat there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Now, the flaming sword. I'll make my ministers a flaming fire to keep the way of the garden. So then when we think about it, what does he do? He baptizes us for the remission of sin. How can he baptize us for the remission of sin? What do you mean the remission of sins? Because my sins was remitted at Calvary. He's the authority to bring me into this place. And the Bible said baptism is for the remission. And the Bible said the preacher does the remitting. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And if remission is in the name, and if water is for the remission, and if the preacher does the remitting, you put them all together and he can baptize you for the remission of sin, saying that your body is now dead. You've accepted the fact that you are not of the flesh. You're not of the barnyard. Jesus was born in a barnyard. That is to say, that he might take our sins and show that he was going to be the beast as to the image, though he knew no sin. And he was going to let God smite him as the bastard child. That's why they kept saying he was illegitimate. See, when he wasn't a bastard child. See, so that we wouldn't be smitten of God as the bastard child, which we would be if it had not been Christ that intervened for us. So then, I don't have time to detail. I don't have time to go into this. On numbers of tapes, we preached this and broke it down in great detail. But I'm only bringing this before you to let you know that we are not the generation of vipers. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the body of the beast. All the world wondered after the flesh, which is ball games and eating and drinking and powder and paint and lipstick and everything else. But we're not the beast. We come out of the world. We're not partakers of that. We're not looking for some position in the world. We're they that dwell in heaven. We don't have time to mess with that hog pen. Jesus said they're swines and they're dogs. So we don't have time to mess with that. You are God's. You pass from death into life. You can't die. You're not in the flesh. How are you going to sin? The Bible said sinful flesh. You're not in the flesh. God has chosen you out of the flesh by killing the flesh, by the body of the Lord Jesus and laying it away, that your spirit could go and dwell in heaven. And in heaven, you are as an angel. I make my angel spirits. He is born a spirit of spirit. So we are in a spiritual world. We're in the world of light. We rejoice forevermore. The devil can't get in nigh our dwelling. And the Bible said these things can't come near our dwelling. We are people that has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men are pressing against the flesh. And the things of the human senses coming into the wonderful kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not in those people. The world is in those people. For the Bible said God has set the world within their heart. That's why they're in the world, because the world is in them. Why are we in heaven? Is because heaven is in us. Is that right? Lift up your head, ye everlasting gates of glory. Out of you come forth words that are heavenly. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. For out of their mouths come the evil stench of that of the bottomless pit as to adultery and all those things that defile. For that that cometh out of a heart, Jesus said, it defileth the man. And if it defileth the body, God will destroy it. But ye are the temples of Almighty God. So then, we can't wait for something called the rapture, for there is no such thing. We are changing from glory to glory, and we're going on in our diplomacy of life, that we might come to the understanding as to these things in the mind of God, or the great Spirit revealing himself to us, are making known to us heavenly things from within. Keeping under the body, putting your bridle on it, bringing it into subjection, letting our spirit dwell within the Christ Spirit on the inside. As the songwriter said, within the chapel of my heart. So, we are free from sin. If we are free from sin, how did we get free from sin? By not transgressing the law. For the Bible said transgression of the law is sin. And the Bible said where there's no law, there's no transgression. And Jesus fulfilled the law. And the Bible said the law shall not pass away till every jot and tittle is fulfilled. So I have people to say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said it won't pass. But you misunderstand. That's why Jesus said it is finished. He came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle. He was the law, the Word made flesh. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle. And when he did, the law passed away. What you see is a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come in. When it's revealed to you, is only what took place at Calvary. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. See, your eyes are beholden. They did not recognize him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But to as many as recognized and believed, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. All right, so then let's say this. The law is passed away. How can I then transgress the law if I be dead to the law? The Bible said, reckon yourself to be dead to the law, dead to sin, dead to the world. Can a dead man transgress the law? And the Bible said, if the law is folded up And if it's laid away, where there's no law, there is no transgression. And he said, where there's no transgression, there is no sin. For sin is the transgression of the law. And the Bible said, where there's no sin, there's no death. Because sin is the sting of death. No law, no transgression, no sin, no death. So then, death, where is thy sting? Jesus plucked it out at Calvary. And grave, where is thy victory? You have none, because we pass from death unto life. You can't hold us, though we lay down to sleep, we'll raise again. So then we know what the Bible means when it says that from the time of Daniel, 483 years, and then Messiah will come, and he will make an end of sin. Folks, do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible? We're saved by faith in the Word. The Bible said that he shall make an end of sin to save us from our sins. Now, if he made an end of sin, who am I as a preacher to get up here and tell people their sin, and especially the children of God? Somebody says, aha, Brother Pike. Let me tell you something, okay, I want to hear. What is it? What about all them sinners out yonder? You say they sin. I sure do. I sure do. The worst kind. But how can they sin if there's no sin? I didn't say there was no more sin to them. I said there's no more sin to us. They're still under the law. The Bible said they that have fallen from grace is under the law. They're still transgressing the law and be judged by the law as sinners. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. They'll go to hell. They didn't get on this side of Calvary. I'm talking about God's people. You know, it comes up to Calvary and then up to heaven we went. And this way they went around the Word of God. They just kept walking in their sins. Folks, let's look at it. Was Elijah perfect? Of course not. Was Abraham, the father of the faithful, perfect? Of course not. Someone would say, how can you say that? I say that like this. They were perfect in the foreknowledge of God, just like you are. They were perfect in that God numbered them with us on this side of Calvary. But the Bible says, without us, they that were under the law could not be made perfect. For the blood of bulls and goats made nothing as to the comma thereunto perfect. And that's why God chose a new way of life. So then, where are we today? They without us could not be made perfect. For the promise was, and he shall come. And he did come. And he made us perfect. And then he went down to the heart of the earth to loose the souls in prison. As they cried, how long? He gave them the body of Jesus Christ to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As the garment saying, just a little longer. As to your brethren, didn't kill like you are. See, so where are we? We're not under the law. We're not imperfect. We are perfect. Perfect forever. Not for one revival to another. How is God going to reckon to us eternal life if we're not perfect? See, why didn't they get eternal life under the law? Because they were not perfect. Now look at Elijah and these other fellows, and they didn't get eternal life. They were under the law. And no flesh shall be justified by the law, so they were transgressors of the law. And God kept them by the blood of animals, that is spilling the blood of the beast, knowing that the life is in the blood and that wicked life left. And the good life of God came through the Lamb. And the other was burned without the gates, as Jesus suffered without the gates, as our brother brought out the other night. So then, who are we? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm trying to work so I can be perfect. Well, don't let me insult you, but you're doing a poor job of it. Looks like you're worse every day. Let's give the Lord a hug. Just observe somebody and you'll find they get worse all the time. One of the greatest mistakes they make to start with is a stench in God's nostrils because they're trusting in self-righteousness. They're wrong to begin with. But folks, let me tell you something. Jesus has done the work. And because he's done the work, we're in heaven. Somebody said, what about that rapture? I'm telling you, you better get that word out of your vocabulary unless you're going to just use it like it should be used. You know, somebody said, but I'm waiting to go to heaven. Well, I'm here to give you an invitation. There's a door open in heaven, and the voice said, come up hither. Now is the day. Now is the day. Oh, somebody said, well, I'm already a Christian. No, you couldn't be a Christian. There's no way you could be a Christian and not be in heaven. Christian means Christ-like, and he's in heaven. And I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, somebody said, well, what about the rapture? Could it be that it might have already been taking place? What does rapture mean? Caught away. Oh, somebody said, well, I haven't been caught away. But I have been caught away. Let's give the Lord a hand. And I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. My inner man, my angelic man, been caught away. And I'm dwelling in heaven. You love the Lord? I'm dwelling in heaven. Woe unto you that dwell in the earth. Satan is among you. He's the god of this world. He's the god of the flesh. You savor the things that be of man, not the things that be of God. All right. So then at death, that is to say, when my body died by the body of Jesus Christ, and my spirit went back to God who gave it the very minute I believed on that. They buried my body. Somebody will say, I'm looking at you. Well, you're in the flesh, Brother Pike. No, you're having strong delusions and hallucinations. The Bible said we're not to know anybody after the flesh, but after the spirit. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. He's not flesh. His body is dead, and his body is buried, and his body is gone. And the Bible says when God sees us, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and he was made a quickening spirit. Somebody said, I'm looking at Brother Pike. I'm not looking at Jesus. That's because you're having hallucinations. You're out there in the world of hallucinations. You know what? Boy, one of my best critics spoke up then. You love the Lord? I might not have said that, but it's true. Anyhow, let's give the Lord a hand. They spoke up because they don't believe it. They so anyhow. Somebody said, well, I see that, Brother Taylor. Well, that's all right. You know, if you're out there with the beast and you're out there with the body and you're out there in that world, you're having nightmares and hallucinations, that's your business. But I'm one of them that dwell in heaven, and there's people here that dwell in heaven, and their bodies are dead and buried and gone, and not even God sees it. God doesn't even see it anymore. He never looks on that bastard child image because he cannot look upon iniquity. Did you know the day that the blood comes off the seat of atonement? That very moment that it comes off, Lot goes out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone comes. The very time that goes off, God will burn humanity and the world immediately. He's a consuming fire. He cannot look in iniquity. He's only beholding them now through the blood. To let them multiply and replace the earth, to give the church time to come in. All right, so the old red dragon was laying there. What was he doing waiting for the child? He was laying there like this, subtle. Just as quick as the child come forth, he says, now we've got a baseball team. And you're a good church worker. And we've got a lot of confidence in you. And we believe with the proper training that you can be a superstar. Come on, folks. The old red blood dragon, the old mind of the devil, and the body of the viper, the mind of Lucifer, the old blood life, saying, come on to passions and good times. You know, he says to the young lady, you've got a career. My, what you've got ahead of you. And he says to the young man, you need to be a dignitary. Just think what a blessing you would be to the church if you could just be one of these people over here that's admired in the flesh. Whereas the Bible said that which is highly esteemed of men or among men as to the flesh is abomination in the sight of God. You're not many mighty recall. So the dragon is laying wait, and he is devouring by the millions and turning them into gays, turning them into celebrities, putting them into positions of the world, putting them into businesses, and saying as he did to Jesus, all of this belongs to me, he said. And it's given into my hands to give to whomsoever I will. And if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it to you, he said. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. He said to Peter, or Satan in Peter, thou savest the things that be of the flesh, not the things that be of God. We should be spiritual. Folks, a lot of things I'd like to say, but I can't. I've just hurried through this and in broken part, but we've got this detail in a more explicit manner on tapes in different sermons. as the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, a new heaven and a new earth. For old things pass away. You are a new creature. You dwell in a new place. You have new thoughts. You have new ways. All is different with you because you're the beloved children of God. For what great honor God hath bestowed upon us that we should at this very moment be called the sons of God. And the world doesn't recognize us, but we already are the sons of God. For beloved, ye are the sons of God. And you've already passed from death into life. And he's already given you all things that pertain unto life. And he's already said you'd be like a tree that's planted by the water. And you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. And whatever you do will prosper. He's already said, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And he's already said, if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. To make you ride upon those high places. And it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And he's already said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. For I'm the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. And all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine. And he that walketh upright before me shall lack no good thing. So what can we say if God be for us? No one can be against us. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your patience. We could go on for at least another hour, but I've evaded getting into the subject too deep because if I do, I'm afraid that some of you won't understand. Some of you don't understand already. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. I want to say I appreciate you being here tonight. I'd love to really preach, but if I did, I'd like Paul, it'd take all night long. To preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there was given unto Paul the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John said, and this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, the time is at hand. Any time that the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, that's the end of the world. The time is at hand because I tell you again, the world is in your heart. And when God comes and it's him speaking, not the minister, he is speaking the world out of existence. He spoke it into existence when he said, let there be. And it came to pass in your heart. And when he speaks with the brightness of his coming as to this light of understanding of the mind of Christ, the revelation, it penetrates and goes into your heart because you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, preached down through the church ages, comprehended in the end time. As to the height, the depth, the width, and the length. So then, you understand because you're children of light. But the others doesn't understand. They won't see when good comes. Satan has blinded their eyes, the god of this world, that their eyes of understanding cannot comprehend. For the Bible says that this light, glorious light, as to the day star, the true light now shining, a more sure word of prophecy, that this light shined in darkness. That is among those ignorant people, among those intellectual scholars from college and everything else, religious scholars. It shined in the darkness because the grace came and the rain was poured out on the just and the unjust. But the Bible said they comprehended it not. For the darkness comprehended it not. For light and darkness hath no fellowship. They were ignorant. They were intellectual. They got an intellectual zeal. And they took it to themselves that they knew and indoctrinated others and went to preaching. And run as one that had no message, as one that beateth the air. Having prestige and fame and folly, trying to project their own selves, having all this in mind. And witnessing of themselves and doing those things that prove that God had not sent them. And one of the things that proves that God has sent a minister, the Bible said, if these men had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. For all unrighteousness is sin, and the love of the world is unrighteousness in the sight of God, and it is sin. The frolics of the flesh is instigations of Lucifer and its unrighteousness when it comes to ball games and all of those kind of things. That's the love of the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of God's not there. and all these people that are supposed to be baseball players and football players and all these celebrities of the world that are joining the churches and saying that they've got God's Spirit and they're going on playing ball, they don't have anything that is a lying vanity, and they are a proselyte, twofold more, the child of hell. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I said, there are twofold more. The child of hell, whited sepulchres that appear full of dead men's bones. Men fall into these things unaware, standing at the door, won't go in and hindering those that would really go on in. So the adulterer, the drunkard repents and goes in before you religious people. So then what is it? Those people don't have God. If they'd had God, if they'd got converted, they'd left the ball games. Even Billy Sunday, a Baptist preacher, when he got converted, he started preaching. As far as I know, he never played ball. He's just a Baptist boy. Folks, let's differentiate between good and evil. The Bible said when God brings Zion again, they'll see eye to eye, speak the same thing, won't break ranks, and they'll be able to discern between good and evil. So then remember the evil that you think of as killing and stealing and adultery and all these things. That's right. But the evil that you don't think of as to being evil is eating and drinking and frolicking and being worldly minded and being kindly minded and all these other things. This whole world is of the devil. Listen, folks. This whole world is of the devil. All of the government of the world is of the devil. Oh my God, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I know what I'm saying. And the devil is the prince of this world and the god of this world. And he's got control of this world. And he works all things in this world as to the minds of the children of man, as to his favoritism. For the Bible said they're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And the children of God are not of this world. They've been chosen out of the world. They're in heaven. They're different people. They're not in the flesh. They're not under the government and the auspices of this world. They're under the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God. And God's right now about to reveal that. That's what the rapture is. That's what the translation is. The children of God, this thing is in secret. And these things as to Christ to the church, as to the inner man, they've been raptured out. They've been translated out. They've been placed into the kingdom of God, and the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the body of death that's buried and it's gone, and we're now the body of the Lord Jesus. And God is going to reveal at the sounding of that last trumpet to those that have the hope of Christ within them that new body that they are and that new world that they are in and the new things that God has done for them. They won't be messing around no more with that one. All that's behind them. You love the Lord? The world is missing it by 100,000 miles, as we would say. It's taking place. It's happening. The things are taking place. And just as it was when the Messiah stood in the midst of them, they didn't know because they didn't recognize the day of the visitation. And the woman at the well, she said, I know that when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus looked at her. And he said, I am he. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Even Paul with the revelation as to that day to bring in a new world, caught up into the third heaven, said, it's not me living but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. John said the tabernacle of God was among men. Folks, let me tell you, you're the tabernacle of God. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, you're the tabernacle of God, and you're in the earth, and you are among men. That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ is about. And they blaspheme that worthy name of Jesus and blaspheme you. Having done it to you, the saints will judge the world, as it be written in the books that they did it unto you, they did it unto him, because you're his body. Know ye not that the saints will judge the world? God is in you. He's within His temple. Let all the world keep silent. You're the member of His body. Members in particular. All right, let's sing this little chorus. You need to stop and think. Get away from Pentecostalism. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you ought to be preaching that people go to Pentecostal churches. Folks, let me tell you something. The word Pentecost comes from the number 50. It's only a Pentecostal feast that was in the Old Testament that was symbolic of the coming of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. And God chose that day because it was the time of all the Jews gathering for their Pentecostal feast. And it was a time of jubilee as to 50, when all people's debts were forgiven, naturally speaking, as to the Jewish people, which was a type of the church. And that's why that the tongues came. And that's why people spake in tongues. It was because God had always been the God of the Jews. And now God wanted them to know that since Calvary, He had took away the sins of the world and He was the God of all people. And so they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit set upon them as a flame of fire, tongues of fire, cloven tongues of fire, set upon each one of them. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But the Bible said when the people heard these things, some said, these men are drunk off of new wine. Others said, no, it's not the time of day for drinking wine. Some said, besides that, he's speaking in my native language. As one would say, but how can that be? Because he's speaking in my native language. There was nothing confusing about that. Pards, Medes, Elamite, dwellers from Mesopotamia, all of them glorified God and said, we do hear them speak in our own native language wherein we are born. Well, that is to say, Brother Taylor, boy, you just remember, I can speak your language. Well, God was saying, I'm not just the God of the Jews only, but I'm the God of the Gentiles and the Medes and the Pars and the Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia. For the Bible said, and from every nation under heaven they came, all Jews. But it was given as a type of a Christian. And folks, that's where tongues come from. See, that's where tongues come from. We could say a lot about that. But anyway, let's be children in malice, but how about in understanding? Let us be men. Let's sing this chorus. It's later than you think. For He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. Jesus was here all the time. Once again now, Lord was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. Was here all the time. Once again together now. Jesus was here. You know, the mistake we make is we keep looking back as to what God has done and we're looking forward as to what God will do, overlooking the fact that God is our present help in the time of need, and that we, because we are perfect, can come boldly before the throne without condemnation to receive our blessing from God, in that He has given us already in Christ all things that pertain unto life, whether it be health, blessings, finance, whatever. He supplieth all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And He's been here. See, Jesus is here. Where two or three are together in His name, He said, I'm in the midst of them. And the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that love the Lord. Why do they do that? because this is heaven, and angels dwell in heaven. And in heaven you are as the angel, which means your body is dead. You're dead to the world, which means dead to the body. And now you are a quickening spirit, and that spirit is in heaven with the angels. You are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. I've made you to sit together in these heavenly places. Rejoice forevermore. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't give in to condemnation. God knoweth, even if your heart condemns you. So Jesus was here. Can you sing it with me? All the time. Sing it. For he was here. All the time. Waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time. One more time together. Jesus was here. Remember now. He was here. He's still here. Always been here. Paul said he's above you. He's in you. He's through you. As he declared this to those that worship the unknown God. I declare him unto you. Ye are his body, members in particular. He dwells in his temple. He works through you. The world can see him through you. Let all the world keep silent. God is in his temple. I will make them come and kneel at your feet. And know that I've loved you. All of the world will kneel at your feet. Because God is in you, and he shall suddenly appear within his saints in the great cloud of witnesses, and every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess. For he was here, and everything under the earth, everything in the earth, and everything in heaven was praising him and loving him. Folks, the days of the Gentiles are gone. As it was with the Jews, so is it with the Gentiles. As we walk down the streets of Jerusalem, as I walk down Dolorosa, and the anointing of God came upon me, and I lifted my hand to heaven and I said, repent. Repent to the Jewish people as I went down Dolorosa. For the time is fulfilled, I cried out to the top of my voice. For the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He was here. Since that time, they had nothing but problems and trouble. Our literature has literally filled those areas. Bethlehem, Jerusalem. All over Jerusalem. And even the book, the time is fulfilled. And now, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel prophet said, the prophet saying that when you see these things as to the encompassing of Jerusalem, then shall the end come. It's right at hand. And you got to go out of here as the church before that happens. And it's right at hand right now. The Bush administration actually runs over into the tribulation period if we took it calendar-wise. And I drink this water and then I think of those that are in hell. Been there. No beginning, no end of that horrible, hideous thing called the lake of fire. As to God being a consuming fire and a consummation to those that resist him. For once you've heard the gospel and the Bibles have come to the knowledge of the truth, then if you reject it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversary. But you having been born again, where these things are, there's no conscience of sin, no more conscience of sin. You're not even conscious of sin. You're dead to sin. It's not even in your world. You are alive and conscious to God. And to keep a good conscience with God always and with man. So you can believe. Do the things that please Him to assure your heart so you can believe. Because when you believe, you get all the good things of life that you want. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and kept thee back from good things. For his ear is not dull that he cannot hear thee, neither is his hand short that he cannot reach you. He was here. Oh, can you sing with us? And he touched me. Oh, he touched me.
touch me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me.
Oh, can you sing that one more time with me? The altars are open.
Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole.
Right, let's sing this little chorus together as we give altar call.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing with me now.
For my rest, it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Sweet spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing that with me now. Sing it like this.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more.
Sing with me now.
Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe. Evermore I need thee, Lord.
Can you sing with me?
Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I
sing it like this now.
And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valleys, the more I learn to pray. Found thee with the lilies there blooming by the way. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all bad. life can be all sunshine. Ah, there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today.
Let's give him a hand, gentlemen.
Where will you be?
Can you sing that one?
A million years. You sing while the ages roll throughout eternity. I ask this way, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will be?
One more time together now.
Where will you be? A million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity?
Now, while they're playing on the organ and the piano, we're going to sing another song. While we sing this song, if you want to be prayed for, I want you to step up here. We'll lay hands on you, and we're going to pray for you. All right. While I sing this song, I'd like for my ministers to come up. If my minister would come up, I'd appreciate it. Under the tent, we usually have you come up, you know, stand on the platform, and usually sit on the platform around the church. We usually don't do it, but we ask you to come up when we go to pray for the sick. Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. All right. But he said, we're here back to the sin subject. I just wish we had time to break it all down and let you see it all runs together. It's all line upon line and precept upon precept. All right. Let my ministers come up if they will. All right, we're going to sing this chorus. Glad to have our brother Bob with us from over. He just closed out a meeting in Virginia. I supposed to have been with him. He come down from Carolinas, living in Carolinas, don't you, Bob? What a tent crusade up there not too long ago, which reminds me, Brother Richard Owens, some of you are familiar with him. I preached for him under the tent there in the Carolinas a long time ago. We had a real full house, and of course, he's been out here to minister for us, and he's asked if we'd come up to his camp meeting. He's having his camp meeting, and he's asked if we'd come up at least one night and minister for him. So you pray that we will. We never did get up with Bob, which I'm so sorry for that. All right, now I'm so glad to have Chris. He's from a place where people believe in praying and believe in fasting. That's right. I mean, they love the Lord, folks. They love the Lord. They shout and they praise God, and they sing the wonderful praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's so wonderful. Brother minister, you need to get up here with me. We need the ministers up here. Don't we have another little fella out there that said he was called to the ministry? Where is he at? You need to come up here, young man. Pray with us. All right. Somebody said, oh, he's too young. I don't know. God took Josiah's and some a lot younger than him. And it was them that took all that stuff away about worshiping that snake over there. They had him in the high places, the one that had in the wilderness in there, and he's still worshiping that thing. And well, that little king, he got on the throne, and he began to pop the whip, and they tore that thing up, and he set things in order. He sent and got the books of God, and he told him, I want to know what this is about. I sent over to a prophetess, you know, when I've been there. He got the ledgers. He said, we're going to do this thing with God wants. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Ain't you happy to be a son of God? And I don't see how you can hardly contain yourself. Something on the side of me just jumps up and down. And I think, my God, I'm alive forever. I'm a son of God. I don't have no fear of death, folks. You got to admit that you don't have no fear of death if you've got God. Somebody said, I'm afraid I'll die. You need to get born again. The Bible said all of our lives we're afraid, you know. And we were under bondage to fear because of death. But we pass from death unto life. How can we be under bondage? See, we're not going to die. We'll never die. No, no, no. I'll live on and on, the songwriter said. Throughout endless ages, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. So then we're not going to die. We died one time to sin. That was by the body of Jesus at Calvary. Jesus said, now I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but he rolled away the heart of stone, and out came that inner man, and he's dwelling in heaven today. He doesn't have to die anymore. All right, let's all sing together, can we? Give me a key, friend. Across the bridge, sing this with me now. There's no more sorrow. Sing that with me now. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Sing it more time. Far across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life I'm living, I have lived the life of sin, done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there's no happiness and love that's true. He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be happy. I just feel like I want to sing this little chorus. I don't want your gold or silver. Sing that with me. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my own. So we don't need And I don't need no worldly fame. All I need is the love of Jesus. For my God, give me everything. One more time. So I don't know. No more. I don't want a diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, God's everything. Let's give him a hand if you believe that. All right, it was stated Paul would come down and give me a hand. Tell David to come around. All right, we're going to pray for the sick now while they play. Have faith in God. Have Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He said, if you say anything, decree it in your heart, say it, don't doubt, but just believe, and it will come to pass, and you can have whatsoever you say. So have faith. Not too long ago, I bought a jet airplane. Sometimes I buy a ship, sometimes I buy a plane. This time I bought a jet airplane. I felt like we need to travel faster. Well, I bought the plane. I gave tens of thousands of dollars as to what I had. And then I had to meet $100,000 to pay it off. And have faith in God. And so then I decreed it in my heart. I said, now Lord, I'm going to have it at a certain time. And I looked up to the Lord and I said, now Lord, by faith, when the time comes, I said, I'll pay the $100,000. I don't have any money at all. I said, I'll pay the $100,000. It'll be there by faith. And so the devil wanted to aggravate me like he always aggravates you and me. He said, you'll never do it. I said, praise God, because you said that, I'll buy me a coach on the side, which I did. I bought a stand for $12,000 on the side. And I said, I'll spend tens of thousands of dollars on the side to keep the work and pay the brethren. And I won't hold back to give to the poor and send offerings overseas and pay missionaries' work ways over here. And I said, and then when I finish, I'll pay the $100,000 off. And God gave me the $100,000. And you go down, the sun goes down to pay it off tomorrow, and you own your jet and it's paid for. And all of the things of Bethlehem are paid for. Your buildings are paid for. Your land is paid for. Your things are paid for. Because you can have faith in God. Can we sing it again, Brother Dave? Let's have faith. God. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, God said to a great man of God one time, if he can get the people to believe,
let's have faith in God.
Now, I want you to step up here. One or two, three, whatever. I want you to step up here, will you? If you want to be prayed for, step up right here. Will you do that? All right, just stand back toward the edge a little bit right there. And touch so the ministers can come around. Will you do that for me? All right, we're not going to slice it. Now, when Brother Pike prays, he doesn't play games because sickness is real and pain and misery is terrible. I don't like it. God don't like it. So we pray sincerely from the bottom of our heart for you. And these men will pray sincerely from the bottom of their heart. I know these men and they're good men. And they'll pray. Now, if you're not sick, little ones, Brother Pike always prays for you. Because Jesus said, if such is the kingdom of heaven. And I always pray for you. Just pray for all of you. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me if you're not sick. Now, I want you to step back down, right down there. We won't just step right back down the steps, and we won't slight you. We'll get around to you. But if my little ones will step right back down there, down the steps, and if you're not sick, if you will, just kind of step back down there, even the grown-up, till we pray for the sick. And then after we pray for the sick, if you want to be prayed for, we'll pray for you. Because I know that you want to be blessed. The Bible said, whosoever the minister's blessed will be blessed. And we're going to bless you. But we want to pray for the sick and them that have need, okay? I want you all to believe with me. Will you do that? Now, will you sing with me? Will you stretch out your hands toward me out there? Are you going to believe with me? See, it didn't say the minister would heal the sick. It said the prayer of faith will save the sick. And it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Isn't that right? So then we're going to pray for you. And you pray and you believe with us now. And you that are sick, I want you to believe with me. When I pray, believe. Believe. And don't believe that you're going to get well. Don't believe that something's going to happen out yonder because we pray. I want you to believe that when we pray for you that God has healed you. And you go away praising God because God healed you. The Bible said by his stripes you were healed. It's already in Calvary. It's already done. It's already in the past. And all we're doing is trying to bring it to you that you might believe it and preaching what he's saying about it. And then when you hear it and we pray for you, you believe while we're praying for you that this was in your behalf. Now, do you believe that your sins are gone? Or do you believe that your sins are going to leave? Now, if you are a sinner, you should believe that your sins are going to leave when we pray for you. And when you pray and we pray, you should believe that your sins are gone. You that are Christians should believe that your sins are gone. Is that right? They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far as this darkness is from dawn, better in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sickness, my sins are gone. I'm the Lord that healeth all thine diseases. I forgive all of thine iniquities. So at the same time, he can forgive your iniquities and save your soul if you don't know Christ while he heals your body. So we're going to pray. If I can get my minister brethren to come around here, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
That's right. Just line up here, brethren, if you don't mind.
Oh, reach out.
The Bible said if any two agree as touching anything, asking it of God, it'll be done. If any two, I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to believe with my brethren when they lay their hands on you, that means the hand of God has touched you. We sing the song, he touched me. You do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. And if this be the body of Christ, and they touch you, then God will heal you because that's the only hand that God has got. The only hand. Don't judge them after the flesh or look on them after the flesh, but judge them after the Spirit. And I'll pray with you and I'll give you my word. That if you'll go and don't doubt, Jesus said, don't doubt. Go your way and you'll be completely made whole. Leave it there now. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there now. He touched me. Let's pray together now. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stretch our hands out toward these people, I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel your wonderful anointing right now that's flowing down, coming from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the little woman that touched Jesus, and there came the virtue, and virtue went out of his body, healing the people everywhere that he went. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, here is the body of the Lord Jesus, filled with this virtue. Everyone that looked toward that temple as to the body, the house of Solomon, they were healed. He heard them. I know that you're hearing them and healing them right now. You're healing them right now. I felt somebody's faith then. I feel healing right now. I feel faith. I even feel faith out in the audience. I feel God healing. You'll go your way believing. I promise you. I promise you that God's making you whole. He's making you whole. It's happening. If thou canst believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These are believers tonight. They've proven this by praising God, singing, worshiping. Just step up if you want them to pray for you. Just step up. I just wanted to get the sick first. He made me whole. Can you sing Leave It There?
Oh, leave it there.
Go leave it there. Trust to never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along fair. Just remember in God's word how he fed. Take your burden to my Lord, leave it there. Sing with me now.
Oh, leave it there.
Trust, never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
You love the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing that little chorus, Only Believe. Can we sing that chorus? Sing it now, sing it with me. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe. Lonely believe. Sing with me now. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. And Lord, I receive. possible. Lord, I receive. Sing it like this now. Jesus, He's here. Believe it. Jesus, He promised. Said He'd be in the midst of us. Can anybody deny that God heals when Jesus is in the midst? Jesus is in the midst of us. He's healing you. He's passing by you. He's healing you.
Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. And all things are possible. Jesus,
sing it like this now. Oh Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe all
are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord. And all things are possible. Lord, I believe. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands, reminds them of Calvary. Lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Now, how many of you believe? Let me see if you believe. Do you believe? What is faith? In the Word. What do you believe? You believe the Word. You believe? You believe? Wave your hands if you believe. All right, what do you believe? The Word. What does the Word say? By His stripes you were healed. You mean to tell me you believe that God healed you tonight? Come on, folks. From the heart. From the heart. If thou canst believe in thine heart and not doubt, all things are possible to them that believe, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. For there is a real God, and He is a Spirit, and He is here and healing tonight. He's healing tonight. How wonderful. We're going to sing this little chorus. We're going to dismiss in a few minutes. Let's sing this song. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God.